I think I've got 20 minutes, all right? You can time me if you want to. And I'm going to talk about a man who I'm sure you might have heard of. I don't know who you think goes to heaven. I don't know who you think. I don't know what you think, what type of person goes to heaven. But I'm going to talk to you tonight about a really bad man who went to heaven. Really bad. And his story is found in all four of the Gospels. All the four Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they all tell his story. Luke gives the most detail. And when you read Luke's account, it's written by somebody who was clearly there and saw it. So the man we are talking about tonight, his story's in the Bible. He was a really bad man, but this is true. Okay, it's not like a nursery rhyme or a kind of, you know, a fable. This is a true story tonight. This really bad man went to heaven. He's known, he's called the dying thief. But he wasn't a thief. Okay, this man did not go down to Woolworths when it was still open, okay? He didn't steal Monster Munch and Fanta and run out of the shop. He's not a thief. This man was horrible. He was a terrorist. He hated Rome with every fiber of his being. He was a Jew. He hated the fact the Romans were in charge of his country. And he thought the Jewish leaders, they couldn't sort it out themselves. He hated the slimy taxman who took his money but didn't do anything with it. So this was a man now. If he was living today, he's the sort of man who would get in a plane and drive into the side of a building. That's this man. He's the sort of man who would do anything to get independence for his country. He's a terrorist, this really bad man. And the point is this. This really bad man wakes up on a Friday morning and he's a condemned man about to be crucified. The Romans only crucified the very worst people and they never crucified their own. So if you're in polite conversation in Rome, you wouldn't even talk about crucifixion because it was like a taboo subject. And this man wakes up on this Friday morning, a condemned man. You can imagine waking up in his cell. He's going to be crucified. But by 6 o'clock that night, he is in heaven. Now, what changed? What changed? Well, I would say this to you. This man was being crucified with another thief and a man called Jesus of Nazareth. And on that Friday, when these Roman soldiers, there would have been 600 of them looking after these men, and they would have seen them as enemies of Rome. So you can imagine, they're like hard Roman soldiers. They would have slapped them about, they would have whipped them, they would have spat at them, they'd have punched them in the face. And you can imagine, can you, the language that would have been going on. But this one criminal, Jesus of Nazareth, when they hit him and punched him and spat at him and whipped him and they were swearing and bad language and anger, he was completely different. He never reacted. He never responded. He was just majestic. And so you can imagine this thief looking, thinking there's something different about this man. And then when they nail this Jesus of Nazareth to a cross, and they're all laughing and joking and mocking, and the soldiers are gambling with his clothes, and they nail him, put nails in his hands and his feet. Jesus of Nazareth, he prays for them. And he says, Father, forgive them. And this thief must have thought, if he can forgive them, maybe he can forgive me. And then they chanted out, they were making fun of him, saying, he saved others, he saved others. Let him save himself. And this thief would have thought, if he can save others, can he possibly save me? Now, this thief would have been brought up in a Jewish home, so he'd have had some knowledge, maybe like some of you, some knowledge of the Old Testament, and he would have known maybe a psalm called Psalm 22, and that psalm talks about the promised Messiah, the promised Savior. And in that psalm it says, they pierced his hands and his feet. All that see him would laugh at him. And this thief would have thought, his heart might have started throbbing and pounding, and he would have thought, could this be the promised Messiah? So here's this bad man. He's being crucified. But he's being crucified with a man called Jesus of Nazareth. And as he observes him and watches him, he starts to think, could this be the Savior? That's what changed. The third thing he thinks is this. He's a really bad man. He considered Christ. The third thing is this, though. He saw that Jesus was a king. He says, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Now, can I be absolutely clear? On that cross, I don't know what you think. Maybe you've looked at stained glass windows and you've seen a picture of Jesus Christ looking all serene. It was nothing like that, okay? The Bible says when he was on the cross, he had been so badly beaten and kind of, he was dehydrated. The Bible says he didn't even look like a human being. Just looked like a lump of flesh. He looked anything but kingly. And this thief looks at him and he thinks he's a king. He says, when you come into your kingdom, maybe tonight, I don't know many of you. I've met an Arsenal fan tonight. I come all the way here and I met an Arsenal fan. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Anyway, I don't know many of you. But maybe you come here and it's a nice enough building. We've had nice fish and chips or sausage and chips if you've gone for the kind of more, you know, cultured menu. All right? But if people walk past you tonight now, they wouldn't think we were a massively impressive bunch. And when you think about people like President Biden and the Queen and Ronaldo and all these impressive people and church and Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, he's a king. Can I say to you tonight, the person I'm talking to you about tonight, Jesus of Nazareth, he died on this Roman cross 2,000 years ago. 3 days later, he rose again. 40 days after that, he ascended back to heaven. And he's alive tonight. And he sits on the throne of the whole earth. And all our lives are in his hand. And Ronaldo takes his next kick at his command. America rises and falls at his command. And one day, all of us in this room will stand before him. He's the king. He might not seem like a king today, but he's the king. The fourth thing about this man is this. He was a really bad man. He considered Christ. He saw he was a king. The fourth thing is this. This man realized he was a sinner. Now, a sinner, sin is a bit of an unfashionable, uncomfortable word, but this man saw he was a sinner. And I would say tonight, and maybe you think, hang on, who is this Welshman now? Come on. Telling me this, but I would say the one thing we've all got in common in this room tonight is that we're all sinners. Okay? I would say that. There's two reasons why I'm a Christian, okay? Number one, I believe it's true. If it wasn't true, I wouldn't be here tonight. I wouldn't be bothered. It's true. Number two, I've done things that need to be forgiven. So have you. The problem with me and you is this, right? We like to think of ourselves at our best. So if you look at my Twitter, it's the bits of my life I want to show you. Okay? And I think about myself when I'm at my best. But the real me is this. And this is the real you. You know, you just think to yourself tonight now. If you had a day to yourself, you can do whatever you want. Your looks won't hold you back. Money's no object. And no one's going to find out. What would you do? Where does your mind go? Haven't you? We've done things and thought things and said things and watched things. We're dirty. We've messed up. You know that. You know, people in my school, teachers, they come into school and they say, oh, sorry about last night. That was the drink. No, it wasn't. That was the real you. That was the real you, all right? I taught a boy. Who's ever been to anyone been to Treorchy? Honestly, go to Treorchy. It's a treat. All right? Top of the Rhondda Valley, Treorchy. I taught there for 4.5 years. It's crazy. It was so crazy, we had 44 CCTV cameras in the school to keep an eye on things. All right? And one day, I happened to be looking at the camera, and there was a boy called Kieran, who was the most, like, beautiful, angelic boy I've ever taught. And there was Kieran, 11 years of age, with his back against the back of the technology block, just smoking to his heart's content. All right? So I go to the technology room. I find him. I said, Kieran, come with me. I said, you've been smoking. Oh, sir. No, I haven't, he said. He said, sir, I'm offended you'd think such a thing. All right? He said, sir. So I grabbed him by his angelic little neck and took him to the, center where we had all his videos. And I showed him a picture of him smoking. And he said, sir, that does look a bit like me. You're right. All right? You and me, we can protest our innocence. We can say, oh, no, I'm offended you think I'm a sinner. But one day, God will show you your whole life. Your whole life. Every place you've been. Every thought you've had. Every conversation you've engaged in. Your internet history. It will all be there in front of you. Like me, like this man, we are sinners. Now let me finish with this. He was a bad man. He considered Christ. He saw he was a king. He saw he was a sinner. But then he trusted Jesus Christ. This really bad man had never been to church. He'd never been baptized. He'd never taken communion. He'd done horrible, awful things that me and you couldn't forgive him for. And on this cross, all he did was say to Jesus Christ, remember me. Remember me. He put his whole trust in Jesus Christ. He had nothing to offer him. Just trusted him. Because Jesus Christ on that center cross was dying for all that man's sins. Everything he did was laid on him. And tonight, you can bring all your sins and give them to Jesus Christ and trust him. And some of you think you're too bad. No one is too bad. That's why I travel. I travel anywhere. Because no one is too bad. Everyone is welcome. And no one has done anything which can't be forgiven. So come to him tonight. You know, can you imagine the man's dying moments? It had been just before 6 o'clock. It was the Jewish Sabbath. And Jews didn't want people on crosses for their Sabbath. The Romans couldn't care less, but they did care about public order. So at about 10 to 6, these Roman soldiers would have gone with big clubs and they would have smashed this man's legs. He wouldn't have been able to pull himself up anymore, and within minutes he'd have been in excruciating pain, then he would have died. And the Romans would have taken his body off the cross and they would have just tossed it on a rubbish tip outside Jerusalem, gone like that, another criminal done. At that very moment, this old thief is entering paradise. Can you imagine that? Now, as I close, let me just say this to you. Indulge me a minute with my imagination. This thief arrives in heaven. He arrives at the gates. And there's angels there. Just using imagination. And they say to this thief, what are you doing here? Why should we let you in? He says, I don't know. And the angel says, well, what church do you go to? I've never been to church. Well, what are you reading in your Bible? I'm not reading my Bible. Well, tell me about communion and baptism. Well, I can't. What have you? He said, well, I've done some bad things. Well, okay, tell me what you've done to put them right. Well, I haven't done anything. I haven't put any of it right. I've just come from a Roman cross. And the angel said, well, why? Give me one reason why I should let you in. And the thief would say this, well, because the man on the center cross said I could come. And if you get to heaven's gate one day, which we all will, and stand at the judgment seat of God, the only way you will get into heaven is if you've been to the one who hung on that center cross and he said you can come. But the thing is, there was two thieves either side of Jesus Christ that day. The one trusted him, but the other one didn't. Imagine being that other thief tonight, a lost eternity, for the last 2,000 years, thinking, if only I had trusted Jesus Christ. There's lots of people I feel sorry for in the judgment. I wouldn't want to be in Jimmy Savile's shoes. I wouldn't want to be in Hitler's shoes. I wouldn't want to be in Saddam Hussein's shoes. Horrible men, beasts of men. But the people I feel the most sorry for are people who've sat in halls like this and have heard the offer of Jesus Christ. I've been in touch and distance, but I've said, not for me. It's nice to see you all. Enjoy your pudding and your cup of tea. Diolch yn fawr.